Okay, let's kick off this deep dive. Here's a question. How does the price of your ground beef connect to US strategy towards China? We're digging into the Trump administration's proposal to, well, really open the doors much wider for Argentine beef.
Right. And the sources we've seen frame this as tackling two things at once. You've got these record-high beef prices hitting everyone's wallets, and then there's this bigger geopolitical game, specifically with China's influence growing down south.
Exactly. It's pitched as a fix for what they see as a dual crisis. First, a supply problem, a really historic shortage of cattle here in the US.
And second, that shortage gets magnified, price-wise anyway, by how concentrated the meat packing industry has become. It's basically an oligopoly.
So let's unpack that domestic side first. The core problem, the scarcity, it comes down to the US cattle herd being the smallest it's been in, what, over 70 years?
Yeah, 70 years. It's stark. And it's not just one bad year. We're talking multi-year droughts hitting ranchers hard, plus feed and other costs just soaring.
Which forced them to sell off cattle, right? Even breeding stock.
Exactly. Liquidation. And you, the listener, you're definitely seeing the result. The data is pretty shocking. Retail prices for choice beef hit, I think, $9.85 a pound back in August.
9.85. That's unprecedented.
Totally. And the overall CPI for beef and veal up almost 14% year over year. That's a serious bite out of household budgets.
It really is. And the tough part, the reason it's a crisis needing action now is biology. You can't just, flip a switch and get more cattle.
The natural cycle to rebuild a herd takes time. You're looking at 2, maybe 3 years minimum.
So you need some kind of immediate stopgap, something to bridge that gap.
Okay, so that's the supply side, the sheer lack of cattle. But there's this other piece, the packer bottleneck. It's incredibly concentrated. Just four companies, Tyson, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef Packing, they handle the slaughter for 85% of steers and heifers.
85%. That's
Yeah.
huge market power. And it lets them play the middleman in a big way. We see it in what's called the meat price spread, right? That gap between what you pay at the store and what the rancher actually gets.
Precisely. And when that spread widens like it has, it suggests those big four are capturing a lot of the value, squeezing both ranchers and consumers.
It's frustrating, and what's maybe surprising is how politically insulated they seem to be.
Well, look at the campaign contributions. The
Right.
PSEs for Tyson, JBS, Cargill, a majority of their federal money goes to Republican candidates, according to the sources.
Which suggests maybe that taking them on directly with, say, aggressive antitrust action, that might be politically difficult for this administration.
A non-starter, perhaps. So if you can't easily break up the bottleneck domestically.
You look for leverage elsewhere. And that seems to be the thinking behind this Argentine beef proposal. It's not broad free trade, it's very specific.
Right. It's about using the tariff rate quota, the TRQ. Basically, that's a limit on how much beef can come in at a lower tariff. The proposal is to quadruple Argentina's quota from 20,000 metric tons up to 80,000 metric tons, all at that lower duty rate.
So the goal is pretty clear. Inject more supply relatively quickly from Argentina to try and cool down those retail prices, like a pressure relief valve.
Makes sense as a tactic, but predictably, it caused an immediate backlash here at home.
Oh, yeah. U.S. cattle groups, the NCBA, RCALF, USA, they were furious. Called it a betrayal, I believe.
They did. The administration's counter, though, as presented in the sources, is that this is temporary. It's a bridge not meant to permanently replace American ranchers.
Okay, so that's the domestic price angle, but then there's this whole other layer, the geopolitical dividend.
Exactly. This is where it shifts from grocery bills to, well, statecraft. The policy is also designed as economic support for Argentina's government.
For President Milei specifically, he's seen as pro-American trying to implement these massive reforms in Argentina.
And he desperately needs wins. He needs stability. So this beef access, it's a valuable economic lifeline from the U.S. It's part of a bigger support package.
A package that also includes that $20 billion currency swap agreement.
That's right. A significant financial backstop. It's all about bolstering Milei, helping his reforms stick.
And why bolster Milei so much? That brings us back to China, doesn't it?
It does. China's influence in South America, economically and strategically, has grown massively. They're already the biggest trading partner in the region.
So the US is using market access, letting Argentina sell more beef here as a tool, a way to strengthen ties with a key country, Argentina, and implicitly push back against China's growing footprint there.
Trading market access for strategic alignment, essentially. Denying China a deeper hold.
So when you pull it all together, it looks like a pretty coherent, if controversial, strategy.
Yeah, the sources painted as trying to hit multiple targets. Ease consumer prices, put some competitive pressure on the big packers via imports, and score points in the strategic competition with China.
Kill three birds with one stone, maybe? Fascinating stuff, how interconnected it all is. But, you know, expanding imports feels like a short-term fix for prices, right? A bandage. So the final thought for you, the listener, is this. What comes next? If this is just temporary, what long-term policies, maybe stronger antitrust, maybe support for smaller independent processors, what will actually be needed to tackle the underlying market power of the big four meat packers? Something to chew on.